You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
And good morning. Do we have any announcements this morning? Okay. Well, the no more announcements, we'll go to the scripture reading. It's in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And Father God, we pray for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Turn to Luke 18, verse 18. Luke 18, verse 18. Says, a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time of fellowship and the Word, and we thank you for your Spirit, the teacher, leading us and guiding us into all truth about your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that we're hedged about from the evil one. We might give full thought and attention to the words this morning, to the teaching, and particularly be sensitive to the leading of your Holy Spirit in these matters. And any false lie or any deceptive lie that might permeate or come in, we pray, Father, that it be taken out. We pray, Father, that you meet each heart need, that you bless us this morning. And this we pray in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Obviously, we're going to deal with eternal life. John chapter 1, 12 and 13 are two of the most important verses for the evangelist. Have you ever wondered how come people hear the gospel message about the Lord Jesus Christ and they never come to repentance and salvation? Have you ever wondered about that? I really think that there are several reasons why. I think it's because it's just our nature. It's our nature. We're sinners. We're carnal. It's a part of us that just rebels against the fact that there's something in my life I have no control over. I really think that some people hear the gospel and just don't care. They're just sinners. And if that's fine for you, then that's fine for you. This kind of moral subjection. It's subjective. If you think that works, then that's fine. It doesn't really work for me. I enjoy being a sinner. I enjoy what I'm doing. I think when I die, you remember we saw this movie Fireproof. And it's a great movie. You get a chance, go see Fireproof. It's a movie that's put on by the same folks that did Facing the Giants. It's a Christian movie. It does give the gospel message. It does talk about sin, and it does talk about repentance, and it does talk about salvation. But one of the firemen, and I love the fact that these guys that are doing these movies, the first one, Facing the Giants, was a football movie. You know, let's go in and let's realize that in football and in sports that there is a place for God. Doesn't seem so, does it? I mean, really, if you think about it, we went to a football game yesterday morning to see a nephew play, and these are fifth graders and fourth graders and sixth graders. The fourth graders played, then the fifth graders played, and that's the one we watched, and the sixth graders play. Our nephew's a fifth grader, and that was delightful. He scored 3 touchdowns. It was fantastic. And they beat the team 28-0. It was really glorious. But the fourth graders are playing football. And they got the opposing team has got this big old number 75, and he's the nose tackle. And so the guy gets the football, the running back, and he goes up to the line, and 75 hits him and then holds him up, and a couple other guys come over, and they all drag him down. And you got to see this. 75 is still standing up, and the other guy's dragging him down, and he just looks at him, and he goes, just like that. I just died laughing. With that kind of attitude, you don't need God. You don't need a Savior. We did it. I've got the strength. I think some people are just sinners. I just think they don't want to have God in their life. I think there's other reasons why people hear the gospel message and don't pay any attention to it. They think things are fine in life. Just like the fellow who jumped off the building from the 27th floor, and by the time he hit the 20th floor, he said, everything's still all right with me. Not thinking about what the end is. not thinking about where he's going, how important it can be. It's so important. And here's a rich young ruler we just read. He asked the most important question in life. You know, I think some people think that Pilate asked the most important question in life. What is truth? Maybe. But this is incredible. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus in verse 19 said unto him, "Why callest thou me good?" I love that. That's the very first question. We need to realize, who is Jesus? Is he just a good man? You've known a lot of people who think he's a prophet. He's a good man. He said good things. He has a great philosophy. I ought to follow Jesus. But you know, I think I've got a way of my own. But see, that's a fault in man. That's a fault in each and every one of us. The way of man. The way of man is a deception. It leads to destruction. I was going to tell you, the guy in Fireproof, he was a fireman. And here's the second reason I love this movie, is that it reaches into the fire department. It reaches into those areas of life and says, we need to reclaim those for Christ. We need to realize that those folks are just as important to us as all the other folks in life. I don't know if that really connects with you. It did with me. Firemen, policemen, just God bless them. Every day they risk their life. They have no idea today if that bell rings or that call comes and they show up, if they're going to live another moment. And they do that for us. We take them for granted. We let City Hall pay their salary. And we let them begin to depend on City Hall instead of realizing it's us who really appreciate them. But this fireman, I've told you a couple of times about him, but he sits there and he said, you know, he asked the guy that's ahead of the, or one of the guys in the movie, I can't even remember now who he asked, he says, you know where you're going? He said, yeah, I'm going in to fix dinner. He said, no, I mean, do you know where you're going when you leave Earth? And he said, no, I don't know about that. And he says, well, I know where I'm going. I'm going in the dirt. I'm going in the ground and that's all there is to it. And he said, well, you think you're right? And he said, yeah. And he said, but those other folks, and he had just been listening to a conversation among some firemen about talking about eternal life. And he said, they think they're right too. Who's right? And he says, I'm right. He said, you better be sure. You better be sure you're right. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus asked that question. Why callest thou me good? Verse 19. None is good except one. That is God. We've talked about this the last couple of weeks. Faith. Without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he who comes to God must first believe that he is. Who is God? Have you ever thought about that? Just this kind of wild imaginary thing out there in the cosmos. It's just God. We don't know who God is. God's a spirit. We learn in John. And we who believe in him, we who worship him, must worship him in spirit and in truth. But we don't know what God... We've never seen God. We've seen the embodiment of God. We've seen the fullness of God in the body through his Son, Jesus Christ. But no one here has seen him. Where have we seen Jesus Christ? Right here in this book. This is a revelation of Jesus Christ, for he is the Word. You haven't seen God. You young folks. I was in that position too, and I went off to college. I had some befuddled idea who God was. Who is God? God. Mac said God is a category. He is the category that embodies everything that makes up who God is. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He is all love. He is all righteousness. He is all judgment. What is all that? We don't know. But that's who God is. You used to always think God is the one who caused things to be. Okay, well, who caused God? And I said, well, that's God. That kind of gets kind of weird, doesn't it? Who caused God? Well, that's God. I mean, if there's somebody who caused God, the person before that is God. That's God, because that first person had to be caused. So he can't be God, because God is, he is eternal. So who is God? God makes up all of these characteristics. He's a category, and he's the only one that fits that category. Even though the devil, Satan, Lucifer, tried to fit that category, he never could fit that category. Why callest thou me good? And look what he says. He says, there's none good except one. That's God. See, now we just learned what? Another characteristic of God. He is good. Okay, let's get to this idea. Verse 20, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, don't get that way, please. Don't let your life get that way. These things are important. These things are specific. See, this is the law. The Ten Commandments. The law is just and holy and good. If the law could save you, it could save man, it would. But man can't be saved by the law because man can't keep the law. But the law is still good. God gave the law. This is important stuff. We don't go blah, blah, blah. It's focus on this. Jesus said, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother. And this guy said, all these things have I kept from my youth. Whoa. I'd like to meet that guy. Jesus, when he came, he gave a different principle about it. He said, you don't just keep it in body. He said, you got to keep it in soul and spirit too. He said, even if you don't commit adultery, if you lust after a woman, you've committed adultery. Even if you haven't killed your friend, if you harbor anger towards your friend, you've killed your friend. You've committed, you've broken the law, thou shalt not kill. Real warfare going on here in the mind. We have to watch out. It's a new principle. All of these commandments are summed up in two, right? Two. We all know the golden rule, but the first commandment and the most important commandment is to love God. Love God with all your body and all your soul and all your spirit and all your mind. You're to just everything is to be in love with Him. The second commandment, we all know, the golden rule. Do unto others before they do it. No, that's not it. It's to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Sometimes I get irritated at my neighbor's got a cat. And I've told you about the cat. Sometimes I like to do unto my neighbors as cat does unto me. But that's neither here nor there. We all have our crosses to bear. That's mine. I'm working on that. Well, I am. Now, last time the cat was on the fence acting like he was a bird trying to get bird food. Or maybe he's just trying to get bird. And I said, there's this white bird out there with this long tail. Look, here's that white bird back. It's a cat. I didn't throw a shoe at it this time. I just went out and yelled at it. I'm working. All these things, he said, I've kept from my youth. You know, there is so much arrogance in that. So much arrogance in that. Jesus, verse 22, when he heard these things, he said unto him, okay, that's great. You lack one thing. Sell all that you have, distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. He got him where he really hurt. And that's kind of that sinner. That high sinner, you guys ever, you know what I'm talking about when I say high sinner? You ever had something gets caught on high sinner? You go up and then you start to go over, but then the peak catches you and you're just kind of in between. And that's what, in life, God uses to get our attention. That thing that's in high center in our life. He begins to work on that. And he gets you right into that precarious situation where you wonder, whoa, am I going back or am I going over? And then all of a sudden you realize, I'm not going anywhere. Why? Because I'm high center. And God begins to work on you. Now, how you respond is a different thing. Doesn't mean you're always going to respond properly. Thou lackest one thing. He didn't say he lacked a lot of things. You and I probably think this guy's a loser, you know? Put the big L on him. Send him on down the track. Nothing's going to change. He may not. Probably didn't. But God said, thou lackest one thing. One thing. In other words, give it all up and give it over to God. That's what he's asking. Now, all right, come on back to John. How important a question is that? Very important question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Verse 12 says, as many as received him. Verse 11 said there's a bunch that didn't receive him. Remember? Look back at verse 11. He came into his own received him not. The Jews rejected him. The leaders of the Jewish nation rejected him. He came into his own received him not. There are people who do not receive the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, there are more of them than there are of you. I'm assuming all of you here have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There's more of them who reject him than there are of us who have received him. Because broad is that way that leads to destruction. But narrow is the way, and few there be that go that through that straight gate. Many as received him. Why don't people receive him? Why did those folks reject him? Well, I said a minute ago that one of the reasons is because they're sinners. A second reason is I think they're rebellious towards God. I think they just have a rebellious attitude towards God or anybody else in the world telling them what to do. I've shared this with you before. My mother summed it up in two statements. And I witnessed to my mother my whole life. She believed that Jesus was real, lived a life, and he was a good man. That never once in my whole life did I ever see any reception of him as the Son of God, as a propitiation of her sins, the satisfaction from God's point of view. She summed it up in two statements. She said, I asked her, and this is kind of in an offhanded way. Well, it was unrelated to spiritual things, but she was dating a man. I said, are you guys going to get married? And she said, oh, no, I don't think I'm going to get married to him because I've got to be me. I've got to be me. I don't want anybody else in my life telling me what to do. I've got to be me. Road to destruction. Worst thing in the world. You and I can be is me. Don't want to be me. Me's deceived. Me is fooled. Me all the time thinks that there's a way that's right unto a man. The proverb says, but that way is destruction. My mom says, I got to be me. The second thing she said is, I don't want anybody else. I don't want anybody else telling me what to do. And I summed it up. That's my mother's spiritual condition. That was the destruction in her life. That was the pivot point that she was on. And God challenged that in her life constantly and continually. Some people are just in rebellion towards God. Some people are self-righteous. Some people are self-righteous like that rich young ruler we just read about, right? He's doing it all. I've got it all covered. I don't need to be saved. I'm too good to be saved. I'm too good to be saved. There's nobody that's so bad that they can't be saved, and there's no one too good that doesn't need to be saved. And some people are just lost because they procrastinate. I'll put it off. I won't do it today. I'll do it tomorrow. My brother was like that. I'll just wait till tomorrow. I'm just not ready. When we were growing up, he was really good about taking me to things and including me and doing things. I don't know why he ever liked me. Whenever we got out in the front yard and everybody divided up for who was going to be on whose team, I always got picked before he did, even with his friends. Should have developed a little jealousy and animosity, but he was a brother. He was an older brother. And like older brothers do, they take care of little brothers. He always, and the things that he thought were important in life, he shared with me and he gave to me. And the things that I thought important in life, I shared with him, but he never would partake. He never would. And one day, bam, hepatitis C reached its full fruition. And his stomach blew open and blood started coming into his lungs. And they put him on a ventilator. And he fought that for 4 days and 5 days, and then he died. He never had a chance that I know of. He never had a chance. Deathbed. You don't know if on your deathbed you'll have a chance to repent You don't know when that time is going to come. No man, remember in Proverbs 27, cannot boast about tomorrow. Go over there and look at that. Proverbs, I think it's 27:1. We don't do a lot of this here at Northside. We don't get into this aspect usually as deep as we do many other things that we think are important, because we don't really think that the folks that come through that door are unsaved. And a lot of churches do have people who come in that are unsaved. We've always believed that the church is a place for saved sinners to be recuperated, to be built up, to be edified in the Word. But you know, when you walk out of here, you're going to run into this. You should. This should be a part of your life. What's that? The opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with unsaved sinners. We don't do that. We don't like rejection. You know, we share it and then we get, you know, and they just kind of grate on us, and then we feel rejected. But it's not you. It's not me that's being rejected. They're rejecting God. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1, it says here, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Boast not. Don't be arrogant, thinking that you're in full control. You're not in full control. Don't be arrogant. You're the most ignorant person in the world if you're that way, because it says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you know not." You're ignorant. You don't know what a day may bring forth. You have no idea about tomorrow. Boast not thyself. You don't know what a day may bring forth. You know what that tells me? Don't go past today. There's someone you love, don't wait a moment. Don't wait an hour, don't wait a day, don't wait a week or a month, or when you can get around to it, to tell them about the most important thing in life. What's that? Eternal life. Eternal life. Don't go past a day without the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you three reasons. One, if you lose today, you lose it forever. Remember the rewards we've talked about the last couple of weeks? You lose a day of walking with the Lord. You've lost a day of working on that reward. Now see, what I'm talking about today is that free gift that only God can do. Man can't do it. But the reward is what God has given us to work out. See, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, what's he say? We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. That's that free gift of salvation. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works which he before ordained we should walk in. Don't lose today, because today will be lost forever. It's a wasted life, a deathbed. Repentance is a life that is wasted for the glory of God. Billy Sunday put it this way. He said, "A man who repents on his deathbed has taken the candle of life and blown it out and blown the smoke into the face of God from the candle of life." In Acts chapter 24, turn over there real quick. Acts 24, Paul is arrested. Paul is before Felix. And Paul is witnessing to Felix. And actually, I really thought Agrippa might be better, because Agrippa even said, "Oh, Paul, you're so persuasive, even I might believe." But Agrippa rejected it. Listen to Felix. Chapter 24, verse 24. "After certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ." He sent for Paul. Paul didn't waste a day. Paul began to witness to him. He sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as Paul reasoned out of righteousness, self-control, and judgment, and the judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. What did he do? He put it off. He wasted a day. History has it that Felix ended up committing suicide. Unhappy. Unrepentant. Straight into hell. Don't give it up. Don't lose a day. If you lose the day, you'll lose it forever. Let me tell you the second reason why you don't want to go past today. There is the heart that gets hard. In Hebrews. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 3. You know, God has peace to give you. Why go a day without that peace? God has joy to give you. Why go another day without that joy? God has a fulfillment for your life. Why go another day without that fulfillment? God has glory for you. Why waste another day and not enjoy that? In chapter 3, verse 7, the Holy Spirit says, Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. There is a hardness that begins. If you turn it down once, the next time, guess what? It'll be easier. And the next time, it'll be easier than the last time. Until you get to the point where there's no qualm about it at all, you just totally reject it. This is a hardness that comes from rejecting it. If you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Because if you begin to harden your heart, it gets easier. I imagine with Felix that day when Paul gave him that opportunity, the devil was sitting over there, or one of his demons is sitting there breathing into his ear, saying, whispering into his ear, telling him, This all sounds good, but you don't have to do it right now. Harden not your heart. If you hear it, respond to it. React to it. Most important decision they can make in their whole life. The third thing, the third reason, is the danger of sudden death. The danger of sudden death. Three things. One, you lose today. You lose it forever. Two, if you reject it today, you begin to harden your heart. Three, sudden death may overtake you. Do you know that 5,000 people die every day in America from disease? It doesn't include everything else. Now I forgot the number. Dadgummit, I worked this thing out too. One person dies every second. One person dies every second. You know how many that is a day? 86,400. There's 60 seconds in a minute, there's 60 minutes in an hour, and there's 24 hours in a day, and it comes out to 86,400. Those people die from disease. They can die from... Can't even read my notes here. Disaster, and they can die from anything else. Call it what you want. You can get in your car and you can leave here today and you can be driving down the street, bam, be in a wreck, and it's all over. You can have an aneurysm and it's all over. Someone you love, someone you know. You may not see them tomorrow. You may hear about them. It happens. It does. It does. It happens. Playing tennis with a group of guys. And one of our fellows was gone. I said, Where's Joe? I said, You haven't heard about Joe? And I said, No, what happened to Joe? This is back in the 1980s when the oil boom hit and he was a big landman and he was making lots of money and he had left his wife with two grown children and married this young filly who had a son. And they had gone to the Bahamas. And I guess Joe wasn't very happy. He was over in the Bahamas and he told his new bride and that son, I'm going back home. I got to take care of a few things. And he got in a plane. He came back home and he worked his papers out, straighten everything out, at least he thought in his life, and then committed suicide. I haven't played tennis with Joe for over 2 years. Things were great. Joe was a pilot, flew his own plane, had his own company, lived out in Val Verde, had a big house, made lots of money. Wasn't he better off than Felix? And I asked one of the guys, I said, I wonder if Joe was saved. I don't even know if he's in heaven or hell. One of my buddies that I thought was a Christian, he said, how do you even know there's a heaven or hell? I was shocked for a moment, quickly through my mind. I said, what is this coming from him? His wife works at the church. He's even taught Sunday school. I looked at him and said, Gary, I don't know if there's a heaven or hell. I've never seen either one. Have you? Have you? Never seen heaven or hell. But I know this. There was a man who came, and he said there's a heaven or hell, and they killed him, they buried him, they put him in the ground for 3 days, and he rose again. And he said it, and I believe him. One of the guys on the tennis group says, well, okay, let's go play. Ended that conversation real quick. The danger of sudden death. Who knew what Joe was going to do? No idea in the world. Unbelievable. Who knows what's going to happen? Don't boast about tomorrow. People don't receive him. No, come on back to John. Let's go through. I mean, we need to look at this. There's just a couple of things I want you to consider about it. John chapter 1, verse 12. Many received him. That's us. We've received him. To them gave he power to become the children of the sons of God. Hallelujah. That's what I want. I love the Father. I love the life that my Father gave me. But I love, more importantly, the life that my Heavenly Father has given me. What is this power stuff? This power is that faith that is firmly planted in His Word. That's what this power is. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the children of God. How do you know you're a child of God? How do you know you're saved? How do you know that when you die, you're only going to go through the valley of the shadow of death? You're not going to go through death. You're going to go right into His arms. To as many as received Him. The president received people in the last couple of weeks. You know this billion-dollar bailout. The whole world is having financial trouble today. He had the Italian president over. He had the G7 over. They all met. He received them. They sat down. They had a talk. They had a fine time. They got out and spoke in front of the reporters in the Rose Garden, and they made their decisions. But you know, the reception that God has for you and me when we are with Him is going to far exceed anything this earth could ever give. It's a reception that is based on the confidence of the power that He has given us based on His Word. For as many as received Him, to them gave He power to be the children of God, even to them that believe on His name. You guys remember church camp? S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N, Acts 16, 31. Just believe and receive, S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. What is this believing and receiving? Well, it tells us it's on His name. It's who He is. Who He is. Who is He? God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. He's the only begotten Son of the Father. Yeah. That's who He is. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He is righteousness. He is a Savior. There's so many names about who He is and what they mean that are characteristic and descriptive of Him on His name. Those who believe on His name. That's what He's talking about. Verse 13. Those who have been given this right, those who have been given this power, those who know, who have believed and received. Those who know. We're not born of blood. Verse 13, see that? Not born of blood. Like I said, I love the life my Father gave me, but all He gave me was biological life. And this life one day will be over. What then? What then? You can no more be a Christian because your mom and your dad are Christians, or your grandma or your grandpa are Christians, than you can become a car because you sit in a garage. Oh, wait, I messed that up, didn't I? You can no more be a Christian because you go to church and sit in a church than you can be a car. So you know what I'm saying. I love that. That's good, dear. Who are not born of blood. You can't be born of blood and say I'm a Christian because it's in my family. God doesn't have grandchildren. I'm not a Christian and a son of God because my dad was, or my mom was, or my grandmother, or my grandfather. God has children. I'm born again of Him. And He says, and not of the will of the flesh. I can't make it so. I can't accomplish it on my own. Why is that? Because of the flesh. The flesh can't do it. The flesh is carnal. It's under sin. Flesh can't pay for itself except one time. Where is that? Is it in here? I guess not. Maybe it's not in here. But it's given unto man once to die and then the judgment. Yeah. This body will pay one of these days for the sin that it's in. But that's not me. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's what God has done. Not anything that I could do. Not of the flesh, nor the will of man. I can't even will it if I wanted it. But of God. See that last phrase? That's so important. It's of God. Who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, and not of the will of man, but born how? Born of God. Through an incorruptible seed, Peter says. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 2. Chapter 1, verse 23. Peter talks about this being born again. I love that phrase, born again. That's that idea of energized from above. The new creation, energized from above. And the power of God working in you. Peter says it this way, you're being born again, not a corruptible seed. That's what my dad gave me. That's what your dad gave you. But not a corruptible seed, but by the Word of God. By the Word of God. Born again by what? Born again by what? Say it with me. Born again by the Word of God. I didn't hear you say it with me. Say it with me. Born again by the Word of God. That's what does it. That's your lifeblood as a Christian. The Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Who's the Word of God? Christ. Right? This is it right here. Come on, let's go back to John. We'll look at this eternal life real quick. And we'll quit here. John chapter 3. Let's just begin in the beginning of it, okay? You got John 3:16? Look it up. Let's begin at the beginning. Clayton, read John 3:16. Stand up and read loud.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Everlasting life, eternal life. That's what God has given to us. And it begins with His Son. Go over to John chapter 4, 13 and 14. Jesus arguing with that woman at the well. And he says, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into what? Eternal life. It's what he has to give. Go to John chapter 5. Carter, I want you to read verse 24. Stand up and read loud.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
He that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has what? Eternal life. That's eternal life. Verse 39. Search the Scriptures, he says. For in them you think you have what? Eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. Go over to chapter 6, verse 27. Josh, read chapter 6, verse 27. Stand up and read loud.
Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal upon Him.
There you go. Labor not for that food. Not the stuff that won't match up with eternal life. It perishes. But the stuff that matches up with eternal life. Labor for that. Labor for it. Work at it. The food that endureth unto eternal life. And then verse 54. Jacob, you get it.
Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Yeah, that's not talking about cannibalism. It's not talking about anything that has to do with that at all. It's not talking about communion. Doesn't have anything to do with communion. What does it have to do with? It has to do with this word. That's most incredible question. Or one of the most incredible questions comes from Luke chapter 6. And we'll quit with this. Verse 46. You claim the name of Christ, and we Christians who do, we need to be bold in our witness. We need to be faithful. We need to shoot as straight as an arrow. We need to have it settled in our life, in our hearts, and in our minds as firmly as it can be. Here's the question. Luke 6:46. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Strong challenge, isn't it? Strong challenge. Well, I don't know why he laid it on my heart and wanted me to go there today. Oh, what a wonderful Lord we have. What a wonderful Savior we have. He's brought abundant life to us. He's offered us peace and joy amid the conflicts and the struggles that the world will unceasingly throw at us. Day in and day out. Champion family. Facing some tough struggles. You pray for them. Up and down the line. They need your prayer. All of us face struggles. All of us need the prayer of one another. God's given us peace. He's given us joy. He's given us this life in His Son. We should never waste a day. We should not let it go by. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You. We thank You for the conviction that comes from repentance, the receiving and the believing of salvation in our life. We thank You, Father, that when we stumble, that You're gracious and merciful, that You'll forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We're thankful, Father, that Your word is power to dispel even the darkest night and the most frightening moment. We thank You, Father, for the eternal blessing of knowing in life hereafter that we'll be constantly with You, giving You glory and honor and praise. We thank You for the comfort that comes from knowing this in our heart. We thank You for the great peace that comes. We thank You for these graces, Father. not because we deserve them on our own, but because we ask them in the name and for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.